The San Diego Padres are looking for their first championship that does not involve Gary Coleman in a made-for-TV movie. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Padres' hopes this year. I picked them last year. That didn't work out so well, but it always works out well when we bring in Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres. We're doing another crossover. This is Locked On MLB.
Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the podcast. We talk about Major League Baseball all season long. And thanks so much for making it your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting catchers. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Look down there. See, if you're watching us on the YouTubes, you know that you can always call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on Friday, the 20th day of May. We're already in late May, folks. Yeah, I know the season got started a little bit later than normal, but not that much later. We're rapidly approaching the one-quarter mark of the season, soon the one-third mark. Next thing you know, it's going to be Memorial Day. All fun is going to be happening. Follow us on Lockdown and it'll be pods. On both Twitter and Instagram, I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So, yes, as of this recording, the San Diego Padres are nipping at the heels of the Los Angeles Dodgers. They were nipping at the heels for a lot of last year before. Oh, boy. But my guest today is the brain trust behind Locked On Padres and somebody who is, it's funny, we were trying to determine when the last time he was on, because we communicate with each other so much that we just assume we've been on shows. But you know what? I think it has been a while, so it's time for a crossover. With no further ado, and the graphic's ready. Oops, wrong graphic. Live, it's Javi Reyes. I thought I had the right graphic set up there.
Hey.
You're watching us on YouTube.
It happens. It's fitting of the it team happens. That we're talking about, button. To be honest with you. We thought we had it. One point, and then it just kind of slipped away and went all that.
Oh, you know, I'm not going to bring up something, you know, terrible. I had Ryan Finkelstein was on yesterday's show, and the Mets were, it looked like we may have a Mets Padres NLCS last year, and both teams finished with losing records. it didn't bode, just think about it. On August 10th of last year, the Padres were only two and a half games behind Los Angeles, and they were five games ahead of the Reds. Remember when the Reds were contenders? You had to go. They haven't contended in months, and just a little bit ahead of the Phillies, the Mets, and hovering around 500 with the Cardinals and the Braves, but. That was on August 10th. You think, hey, if we're in there and we're mid-August, this is going to be quite a year. After that, not only did they not play 500 ball, they didn't play 400 ball. They didn't even play 300 ball. They had a 261 winning percentage, which was the worst in baseball after that time. And do you know what that means? It was time to push in all the chips. Get yourself a new manager, get yourself a new look, get yourself a new motorcycle for your star shortstop. And next thing you know,
there it is.
Next thing you know, what you had to do is you had to threaten Eric Hosmer with a trade. And next thing you know, Padres are off to a great start, led by Bob Melvin.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a fun year so far, to be honest with you, despite all of my criticisms I've had for the team. It's true. It's a new start. They had a lot of bad mojo. You know what I mean? You have the clubhouse incident, right? With them yelling at each other and whatnot, on top of just the in general collapse. You have pitching worries. You have farm system worries. You have the worry of the fact that every day that the Padres trade becomes amazing elsewhere. Look at you, Ty France. It was rough. And then Tatis, as you alluded to with the motorcycle thing, And then they come out and they have performed pretty admirably thanks to an awesome starting pitching. They have a lot of depth there, which is something that was the opposite of last year, the complete opposite. So it just shows you how quickly things can sometimes just completely, you know, take a turn.
Well, it's nice to see Clevinger pitched well the other day. Mm-hmm. He got a victory out of that. Not that I don't really like the win-loss stat. I think it's ridiculous that, you know, you could throw you know, the last weekend when Hunter Green gets the loss for 7 1/3 no-hit innings, but Jose Quintana throws 7 shutout innings, he doesn't get the win either. Some schmuck reliever who threw like 6 pitches. Oh, he won that game. He won that game. Yeah, their starting pitching has been deep. Taylor Rogers has been great. I mean, you want to talk about their bullpen. Taylor Rogers has been – I don't see – we're recording this, pulling back the curtain a little bit. We're recording this on Wednesday evening. So I don't know how he fared when they play Philadelphia on Thursday. But he's been up and, you know, up until this point has been automatic. He let up one earned run and 2 walks and 18 strikeouts in his first 16 innings. You can't ask for much better start to a season for your closer than that.
No, absolutely not. And I know you just had Ryan Finkelstein on Locked On Mets, like you said. And, you know, there's very few closers in the league right now that have that sort of it's over cachet. And I think that, you know, Edwin Diaz is one of those guys. I think that Josh Hader is one of those guys. I think that probably at this point, Taylor Rogers is becoming one of those guys. I mentioned how all the trades for the Padres haven't exactly panned out. Well, so far, and actually, at the time we're recording this, one of the assets that they gave up in the trade for Taylor Rogers before the season started was Chris Paddock, who was actually looking pretty good for Minnesota. But then it was just announced, very unfortunate, that he is getting Tommy John surgery. So for once, it's like, oh, my God, the Padres actually were not on the total. Life. Yeah, it was not just the whole – usually it's the other way around, right? We trade for a guy, like you mentioned, with Mike Clevinger, and then he ends up getting to get the Tommy John surgery.
Well,
Rogers has been awesome, and I think that that's been one constant. They seem to have a really good closer almost every year.
By the way, whenever I hear Chris Paddock's name, for those of you who've been following me on Twitter for over the years, there was a period of time where I predicted every single day was the day that the Padres were going to have the first no-hitter in their team's history. And I did that every single day, every single game in the 2019 season, the COVID season, including the playoffs, and the first, like, what was it, 2 weeks of the 2021 season before Joe Musgrove finally threw the no-hitter. And that one tweet I did went viral. Like, how did this guy predict it? And and then some other people went, some people went back and said, oh, this guy's a fraud. It's like, it's a fraud. It's an elaborate joke. You know, so you're, but when I hear Chris Paddock, I think about that 2019 of all 162 games I predicted. And so the Nelson Lametz and the Eric Lauers and the Joey Lucchesis and the Chris Paddocks and the Logan Allens, there was a couple other ones like, you know, Garrett Richards made a few starts. Nick Marcevius, but there were all these guys who every day I'm pulling a picture of them off of Google to put on my Twitter feed, and because I knew that if I just kept doing that, this elaborate joke would pay off, and it would. So every time I hear Chris Paddock's name, I think of me in 2019 saying, on June 6, 2019, Chris Paddock will throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres.
Boom. And it was worth it, right? Even didn't Joe Musgrove himself react to the tweet? I think
yes.
He did, right?
Yes, he did. And the Padres retweeted it and said, how, Sully, how?
That was
and
so
it
funny.
Actually, it ended up in a couple of articles, like a couple of news articles said, like, and this guy made quite a prediction.
That's so fun. I get like super excited after like one of my dumb stat tweets or one of my dumb like oh, the Padres have signed Roy Hobbs to a one-year deal tweet does well. I can only imagine, like, just the – because the buildup, and also let the people know, Sully's been doing this so long, I've been following him. There was a time when you forgot it. Oh, and Nelson Lamet start.
It was.
He was like, was. I think it was like 7 1/3 or something like that he got.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this can't happen to Sully.
Yeah, I did forget it one day. Forgive me. That for one day, I went to work. I was helping take care of my ill father. For one day, I forgot to look up what obscure pitcher was throwing for the Padres that day. And
I really did
think.
The
goal was I had to do it before the game began. Otherwise, otherwise it doesn't work. And so I saw Lamet took the no hitter into the eighth inning, I believe it was. And I
was around there. Yeah.
My Twitter was exploding with people who said, like, you forgot to do it today. And I actually thought that would be the perfect ending.
Yeah.
That the one time I didn't do it was I had forgotten about that. Oh my God.
I actually genuinely thought of view when it was happening, and I oh my God, he didn't do it. If it happens, oh no, he's in trouble. That'd be rough on your part for sure. You don't get quoted.
It would have been hilarious. I actually was rooting for it to happen. I would have found it to be hilarious. But yeah, that's right. It's like the only game I missed. But when it did happen, you would have thought I had become a new father if you saw the texts I was getting. The emails, the tweets, we're so happy for you. Congratulations. When Joe Musgrove finally threw it, it was like, oh, we're all thinking of you. You know, is Sully a new dad? What the hell is going on here? Like, no, Joe Musgrove threw a no-hitter. But
it was awesome stuff. It was awesome stuff. Thank you for taking me back down that route.
Yeah,
that
but you know what? When you're doing it every day, like I was, eventually, I mean, some people said, like, you know, it was you're a fraud. I just said it's like I'm putting my chips on all around the board. Like I'm putting my bets all around the tables when I was doing that. And if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online. You know, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, Joe Musgrove starts, sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to find more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Hey, everyone, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. Your second listen, that should be Locked On Padres. Your listen after that? Check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of Major League Baseball games with analysis from our local experts, including our pal Javi. Taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, we're doing a Locked On MLB, Locked On Padres crossover here with the great Javier Reyes. Now, you may be listening to this on the 19th of May. You may be listening to this on the 20th of May. Or you may be listening to this months and months. We said, you know what? I'm going to binge listen to Locked On MLB. If you're doing that, how are you? Javier Reyes. Okay. I want to just say that there was a lot of moves that were made last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before the lockout. Remember the lockout?
Yeah.
Remember how hard it was to do podcasts during the freaking lockout?
It was pretty nightmarish. Yeah, let me tell you.
I don't care what the terms were. Just, I'm so glad they're playing and we're not here going like, oh, let's discuss ballpark fries. But I think of all the moves, whether it was Scherzer to the Mets, whether it was Correa to the Twins, I think one of the most significant moves was Bob Melvin going to the San Diego Padres. I think he's a fabulous manager, has been for a long time. I think he's a World Series title away from getting serious Hall of Fame consideration. When you consider the teams he has brought to the postseason, he took a Diamondbacks team with a negative run differential to the NLCS, had a A's team whose budget, whose salary structure was only a little bit higher than that of the Locked On Podcast Network. and took that team to the postseason three straight years, saw that team get torn down, and then brought another squad to the playoffs three straight years. I've seen him just squeeze water out of a stone, and to give him the car keys to a team that already has some talent and seem to be willing to pay a little bit of money, you're starting to see this, that they're having this great start, even though not all the pieces, including their superstar, are in place.
Yeah, and I think that there's two reasons why it's awesome. It's the first reason is for everything that you just established, right? I mean, Melvin, there's been some critiques in saying, oh, well, some of the bullpen decisions or whatever, and I get that. And some the timing of certain relievers, I know Blake Trinan would get lit up at the weird times for them a few seasons ago and what have you, maybe Liam Hendricks and such when he was with Oakland too, and that, you know, they never made it super far into the playoffs. But here's the thing. You know, nowadays he's with a team that at least at the moment is shown that they're like, no, like we're ready to like invest in this team and spend a little bit more, as opposed to the Oakland A's, who are perpetually like they have to have all seven of their prospects hit and then they have to win in the first 3 years before those guys get paid. Otherwise, too bad, we're resetting entirely. Not like, oh, we're getting rid of a lot of them, like say Cleveland does, right? Cleveland gets a lot. Right. Buy them, but they don't get rid of everybody. Not to rid of everybody. They did a full-blown fire sale this offseason. So with the Padres, it was like, well, Tatis is arguably, and Machado, the best players that he's had in general to have. So right. That's number one. And then number two, which I think is a really important point to make, is that manager A.J. Preller, or general manager A.J. Preller, has hired a lot of people that he was close to. A lot of people, you know, there's athletic articles talking about how he doesn't necessarily always have people that disagree with him around him. And he just has a tight-knit circle. Jace Tingler, rookie manager last year. Clearly, that didn't necessarily work out all that well. And that was a guy that he knew from Texas. And it's become a meme for Padres fans. Like, oh, it's another guy from Texas. It's another guy from Texas, because that's where he originally from. Right. Melvin doesn't necessarily have that same connection. So it was a really good, just like on that aspect, right? Just being like, oh, they know, right? AJ Preller has seen, maybe I need to actually just straight up decide who's the best candidate and kind of just go get that person instead of deciding between, you know, connections and whatnot and people that you've worked with, which isn't always a bad idea. But when it hasn't worked year after year, when you have Will Myers complaining on Twitch about Andy Green and how he's making them run suicides in August or whatever the heck he said, right? That's not a good look. I think that the Melvin hiring, I agree, has been really phenomenal in a lot of ways. And in an offseason that was full of a crap ton of moves, by the way, that's another key aspect. It's not like all we had was, you know, Xander Bogaerts is a free agent and then that's it. You know what I'm saying? This is the first that guy that came to mind. I saw the home run today. Like this was a stacked offseason, right? So it says a lot. And I'm happy that you're giving us our due credit for it, Mr. Bob Melvin.
Well, this is my favorite season that Bob Melvin ever managed. This is going to sound weird, but I kind of became obsessed with the 2012 Oakland A's, probably because the Red Sox that year were unwatchable. And you know, my dad's team with the Giants, they went on to win the World Series that year. But the 2012 A's were special because they went into that season when people were calling them a disgrace, because they had three pitchers who were, you know, relatively young, a 23-year-old Trevor Cahill, a 24-year-old Gio Gonzalez, and a 27-year-old Andrew Bailey. Those seemed to be, okay, there's three young pitchers that you build the team around. And they traded all three of them. And people were saying, they're not even putting a competitive team on the field. It's a disgrace. They should be sent away, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And that team won the division on the final day of the season against the Texas Rangers, who everybody and their moose thought were going to their third straight World Series. This time they were going to win it. And the Rangers were just in control that whole year until the last week when they fell apart and the A's wound up going to the division series against Detroit. And it was a heartbreaking series for the A's, even though it had the Coco Crisp walk-off hit. They just were, you know, they ran against the buzzsaw known as Justin Verlander that year.
Yeah.
But I was obsessed with that team because it was the team that was, it was like the movie Major League. They ripped the team to the foundation, and somehow And, you know, a friend of the podcast, Sean Doolittle, talked about when they won the division that year, they didn't even have division winner t-shirts printed out. It said postseason on them because the Rangers just had to go in and win one game in Oakland, and there was no way the A's were going to sweep them. So the A's won the first game, which clinched a wild card spot for them. So they had a huge celebration there, and they were spreading, hey, look, we're obviously not going to, you know, sweep the Rangers, so let's celebrate this. And then the final day, it's like, we're going to have another celebration. Like, it, they had two piles on the mound in 3 days. And they handed out more shirts and said, yeah, postseason, because we didn't think you were going to win, you know. And that was the first full season that Bob Melvin was the manager of the A's.
Yeah, and I think
that ability to squeeze that kind of talent is now on a Padres team that already has good major league talent on the squad.
Yeah, I mean – it's just great. And like, and what's funny is that with the expectation sort of thing too, is I know that they brought in Melvin, but even still, there was such a bad taste in everybody's mouth from last year. But I actually just forget numbers and stuff like that. I actually think it was really good that the Padres kind of didn't have a lot of eyeballs on them this year. Last year, they're getting pieces from Tom Verducci and Sports Illustrated calling this the next Red Sox and Yankee series. Yeah, and you had a lot of people, and in fairness, rightly so. I mean, they really looked really stacked, but the hype was through the roof. And by the way, it was true up until, like you said, with August, right? Up until when the collapse happened, the Dodgers and Padres games were insane. I mean, even the ones that they lost, I was like, it was true what was going on right with the Padres. And now I actually think it's kind of been helpful for them to be a little bit out of the spotlight. You know, Tatis isn't playing for the team, probably one of the faces of baseball. And he's not that that's good for the Padres, but just in the sense that that's part of why they're not in the spotlight. And they've really succeeded by some small ball playing and some solid defense and an incredible rotation. And it's, hey, I'm having fun right now, and I'm kind of having fun. Yeah. Everybody not necessarily noticing yet. You know what I mean? They've been picking up on Machado being a beast, right? I think everyone's been noticing what Manny Machado has been doing, but everything else, it's like, yeah, let's fly under the radar. I like sneaking.
I mean, Eric Hosmer would have been traded for a dirty pair of shoes found in a lake at one point. And that must have jolted him, you know, as he has not just a high batting average, but an OPS in the 900s right now, without a lot of homers. He only has like 3 or 4 homers at this point. But but his production as a hitter, his production with his on-base percentage, his production with his slugging is all-star level. And it's amazing, you know, when you have an OPS over 900 with, you know, 35, 40 games into the season, and you only have a handful of home runs, that means you are so productive as a hitter. You know, you don't have those, you know, 10 home runs to sort of offset a lot of you know, like, so I wonder if the fact that he was on the verge of being traded, being dumped, maybe DFA'd, and to have him say, wait a minute, they didn't hand me this contract because I stink. And that could have jolted him, or maybe Melvin, you know, jolted him. I don't know, but either way, one of the most significant trades that the Padres made was they traded lousy Eric Hosmer for good Eric Hosmer. Straight up.
That's 100% right. That's 100% right, man. I mean, I could talk about that dude forever. Of course, on my podcast, I don't say his name. That's still a bit that I have going for a little bit. But like, he's been great so far. I think he's going to come back down to earth for sure. But really, even if he does, I think that he's going to at least not be a borderline liability, a guy who gives you zero wins, zero war for the entire season, right? Like, at least just be a guy who can do stuff, be a 2 war player, be something who's going to be okay, especially considering that apparently, and from everything I've heard too, that he's a really great locker room guy. So I definitely value that. And he's been hitting better against left-handed pitchers. He's got a little bit of a tweaked batting stance and traded lousy first baseman for great first baseman, and bullying works, confirmed.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, I think he deserves at least some reward. Now, obviously it's the big, huge contract, but I think that, you know, when you turn it around the way he did and you go from being a liability to being, now he's been outstanding, but even if it comes to earth, you know, you have, it's important that you've had that production because you're not getting that production from Tatis. Mm-hmm. So you have, what if you had a black hole in the lineup at first base and you're not getting Tatis's production, you're not in the position you're in right now. And then what are you going to do? You're going to need something to pick yourself up. And I would recommend a Built Bar right there. You got the Built Puffs, right? This is the, what do I got here? I got the birthday cake one. That was my birthday last weekend. Last weekend, we celebrated your pal Sully. This week, I'm just a schmuck. But I still
happy belated, Sully.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm the big 5-0. This shirt's older than you. And if you got the birthday cake puff here, which is covered in 100% white chocolate and sprinkles, you got 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, 9 grams of sugar. Boom. I mean, I could work this off doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And guess what? They have a new, there's something called brownie batter.
Yeah,
Built Bar's coming out. I mean, that just sounds good. Obscenely good. Yeah, not even the really brownie, good. The batter.
The batter, yeah, 100%. The batter is what got me.
Batter up. Let's go. Now, all Built Bars are covered with 100% real chocolate, including my personal favorite, which is the raspberry. What's yours?
Mine, personally, it's when they have it, it's apple almond crisp is my favorite that I've ever had. But as of right now, it's my mom's favorite flavor as well, cherry Barcia. Big fan.
All right. All right. See, I like the tanginess of the raspberry. Looks like you like the tanginess of the cherry, but that mix with the chocolate is really great. 100% chocolate. You could eat healthy and enjoy doing it. And guess what? They're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides you with tons of health benefits. The brownie batter puffs will have you forgetting you're having a protein bar. And I had the birthday cake puff for my birthday. They just put a candle on it and I blew it out and said, make a wish. I said, too late. I have my wish. It's a Built Bar. So go to built.com to get the brownie batter puffs now. Use promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we've been salivating over Built Bars and of the managerial style of Bob Melvin. This is a year where the Padres, I think, are going all in. And it's interesting that there's a couple of franchises who have had a yoke of pressure and bad memories, like the Mets and the Padres, who are really going for it this year, albeit in with new managers and big acquisitions. Part of me would love to see a Mets Padres NLCS in a series called Something's Gotta Give. What are your short of winning a World Series? And I know that's a dangerous thing to say, okay? Obviously, the goal for the Padres is to deliver the first World Series title since the Gary Coleman film, The Kid from Left Field. But, which I will always make references to, no matter what, even if it only amuses me. But, short of that, going into the postseason with a rotation of Darvish, Manea, Musgrove, maybe Mackenzie Gore is continuing to pitch well. Maybe Clevenger's giving some innings. Maybe, God forbid, Blake Snell can do well. I don't know. Neither do you. Short of a World Series title, is there a result this year that would satisfy you, or is this really an all or nothing year?
Wild card. Get the wild card spot. That'd be awesome. It's because the reason I say wild card too is especially because they're just kind of cursed by geography right now. With the Dodgers and with the Giants. I've said this a lot in my podcast. I know that the Giants lost Posey and they lost Kevin Gausman, but I love the additions they made in the offseason. I like that they brought back Desclafani. I like Logan Webb for the most part, although I think the stat nerds overreacted to a great second half. Still going to be good. I like that guy. And then they also got Alex Cobb, who I think is just peak San Francisco Giants. I don't know if you knew this, Sully. He threw one for 94 miles per hour. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
And then he threw like 10 in his first start with the Giants. Like, what are they doing over there? So you have the Giants, but one thing I've been saying on my podcast is that the Giants, even if they regress, I just think people, it's too we really think they're going to go from 107 to like 84 wins. That is such an unbelievable. So my thing is, what if they fall back by a lot in terms of 10 games? But what if that 10 games is like, okay, they're still going to win like 96, 95 games, right? So that's the big thing here is, will they fall back? Yes. But the whole question, the whole point is that I still think that they're going to be pretty effective. I think they've got a great staff over there. Everyone's talked about the Giants enough, but my thing is wild card. And when you get into wild card with that pitching and just some gamers on their team, hopefully Jake Cronenworth starts figuring out. And then if you got Tatis, hey, I'll say, I mean, I get my annual Dodgers shot in there once in a while. I mean, let's be honest, Dodgers, they're widely known primarily for some really tragic playoff losses. So once you get in there, I'm feeling a little bit better. And before you say anything or any of the listeners, yes, I know that the Padres got swept by them back in 2020. Congratulations to the LA fans who just like to conveniently ignore that the Padres lost their two top starters.
I was about to say the Padres that series were –
I still think the Dodgers would win it, but they love bringing up the sweep. I'm like, all right, cool. So if we take away Kershaw and Bueller, are you guys going to complain if the Padres slipped? Of course you would. So that was a little bit weird. I'm just saying, primarily, that is what the Dodgers have kind of been known for. And once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. Hopefully some guys show up, maybe a Yu Darvish revenge game. That'd be great. But I'm just looking for a wild card, man. At this point, considering the kind of the situation they're in, considering that their farm got blown up a little bit, just I don't actually think they're as all in right now as some people make them out to be. They want to win right now, but I don't think it's like do or die. I still think that they have plenty of time to figure this out.
I'll tell you what I want, and this is someone who I can't claim to be a Padres fan, but I obviously like a lot of the people involved. I like Manny Machado. I like Tatis. I like Hosmer. I love Yu Darvish. I think he's I love Javi Reyes. But and I've always called San Diego Buffalo by the Sea because they are a cursed sports town that will never get the credit for being a cursed sports town because the weather's nice. Because that sense of having to shovel a driveway thinking about the Super Bowl loss or the World Series loss or whatever is part of the prerequisite of being a tortured franchise. Not taking into account that two of their teams up and left for Los Angeles. You know, they look up and they see the Clippers and they look up and they see the Chargers. But and the snake-bitten franchises that they've had there. And so I'm all for a fan base finally getting their moment to cheer. I'll tell you the thing that I really want to see, even if it's short of a World Series, okay? I want to have a signature all-time playoff moment, kind of like that game between the Yankees and the Mariners where Griffey Jr. came running and scored, an all-time show that highlight in Petco Park. Petco Park is one of the great ballparks in the history of baseball. And what's its greatest highlight? The Bartolo Colon homer? What is the thing that when you see that, that's part of what makes for a great ballpark experience. That this is the place where blank happened. And AT&T Park, or whatever the hell it's called right now in San Francisco, is the best park in baseball. But it also has tons of memories there from the recent World Series and recent playoff games and Bumgarner and Lincecum and Bonds and all these people who played there gave him tremendous memories. You know, even across the bay in Oakland, one of the worst stadiums, great memories there. Go down the Five Rooms right there, great memories at Dodger Stadium. Petco Park deserves that moment that when you go there, that's that moment because it's such a great stadium. It's so perfectly integrated in the city that I want that stadium deserves. It's like PNC Park in Pittsburgh deserves that great moment. It hasn't had it yet. And Petco Park hasn't had it yet either. And so that's what I'd be looking for if I were just as an outsider watching it.
Yeah, I mean, the closest you can come up is maybe just in terms of this era of Padres baseball is the Tatis and Will Myers, that crazy game two of the series against us. I mean, watching that series was just unbelievable. That's when you get the MLB The Show cover with Tatis, right? Like that's kind of the closest they've had I'd say for that in their.
I can't statement. Have anything with cardboard fans be. I'm
that's
sorry.
The problem. I was yeah. That's the problem. It's man. I mean, but could you imagine if the fans were at that game? Because it was it practically. I forget. I almost forgot. Right. Like I almost forgot that there weren't fans of that game because of how Jazz. First of all, obviously they have that like background noise that they were playing, right, but right. It was just. So nuts. Meyer is becoming like one of the most clutch hitters in baseball for the albeit truncated season. You have the what was it? It started off poorly. You have Goldschmidt hitting bombs all over the place. And I think that the record was that it's the first time two teammates had two home runs together in the same game. That was Tatis with two and then Will Myers with two. It was just a nutty, crazy game. And it was so much fun to watch. But you're right. I would love for them to get it. And I think a playoff series could potentially do that. And I think they have the guy that could do that. Tatis can turn a single into what ends up being one of, you know what I'm saying? Like it could be the single that sparked the comeback. I don't know, but he has that blockbuster value to him that when he comes back, it's just so, so different. I almost forget sometimes, man. God, I miss him. Damn it. God, I miss you, man. Come back. We need you, man. Stay off the motorcycle.
This is like an intervention right now. Do you know also has that blockbuster quality?
What?
Javi Reyes, the host of Locked On Padres. We've been trying to figure out when the last time you were on, and it's been way too long.
I know, right?
It's been way, way too long. And but you know, maybe if you know we get ourselves a good Padres October, you know, we have a great year.
Yeah. I mean, they're on their way right now, and they've got some tough games coming up. They've got a Giants series coming up, currently in the midst of a Philly series. Philly, who I think is going to heat up at some point. I still believe in that team. And then they've got the Giants, Brewers. So Brewers, a team, my personal hate team of this year. Obviously, I'm always going to not like the Dodgers. I'm always going to hate Boston stuff. But my personal new hate team of the year is the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't like it when teams that haven't been in the World Series since the late 80s decide that they're not going to invest in the biggest free agent class we've had of the last decade. And they're like, okay, we're 7 years past his prime, McCutcheon. That'll save us. So can't wait for them to get bounced in round one to whoever it ends up being. But that's my team that I hate this year, the Milwaukee Brewers, for those reasons. So hopefully they kick their butts, man.
All right, there you go. Well, you're going to kick all of our butts. Javi Reyes, tell us where people can listen to your wonderful show.
You can check it out, Locked On Padres, wherever you get your podcasts, at @LO_Padres on Twitter, where I live tweet the games, post a bunch of dumb memes and whatnot, and then at Javipeno for my personal account, JAVIIPENO, which I am pointing to on my screen with Sully right now, hanging out on the old tube. And also, you can check out some of my writing, too, on my personal account. I post it all the time. I write for a site called Just Baseball. All sorts of cool stuff on there. Great, cool stuff. Got some projects in the works as well that may or may not be podcast related that I'm excited about. And yeah, that's basically it. Hopefully the good times can keep rolling, man. Hopefully.
All right. And you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Having a long overdue crossover with Locked On Padres, whichever side you're listening to. Oh, wait a second. We did mention Locked On Now. Okay. I thought I forgot to read the Locked On Now copy. I did an episode a couple of days ago where I was reading, it was recording it so late, I was getting drowsy, and I was reading an ad copy, and then I started recapping a game, and then I realized, wait a minute, did I finish the ad copy? I can't remember. That's what happens when you turn 50, folks. This is going. This is going, but for right now, this has been the Locked On MLB, Locked On Padres crossover with Javi Reyes. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.